Psalm 137. Can you do that? Psalm 137. I've had about all I can handle. I'm honest with you. You keep those songbooks open. We'll sing here in just a second. I'll not preach very long, but I may preach a little while. Psalms chapter 137. Psalms chapter 137. And it's sure been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. And I thank God for the good choir singing, and thank God for everything's done. I hope that you'd give ear just for a minute of time to the Word of God. And we'll try to obey the Lord the best way we can. All right, Psalm 137. Psalm 137. The Bible says this in verse 1. Said, by the rivers of Babylon there we sat down, and said, yea, we wept when we remembered Zion. Said, we hanged our harps upon the willows in the midst thereof, and for there they carried us away captive and required of us a song. And they that watched us required of us mirth, saying, sing us one of the songs of Zion. How shall we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Said, if I forget thee, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget her cunning. If I do not remember thee, let my tongue cleave to the roof of my mouth. If I prefer not Jerusalem above my chief joy. Heavenly Father, we bow our head before you this morning. And God, I sure thank you for the helping and the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us, God, as we look at the scripture for just a moment of time. God, I pray that you'd give us good liberty to say what you'd have us to say. God, I pray. We certainly don't want to be in the way, Lord. We want to do the best we can. And God, to have good discernment to mind you, Lord, to do what you'd have us to do. I pray, Father, that you'd speak to our hearts and to God, speak to our homes. Lord, I pray. Help us now, Lord Jesus, that we might honor you and God above everything else. Father, we short enough love you today. Thank you for everything that you've done for us. Lord, I love you. And to God, I thank you for it's in Christ's name. I do humbly beg and ask, amen. And amen, you can be seated in Psalm chapter 137. We pick up on Israel. They're in a dark portion of their life, and we find that they're in a place of a captivity. They have been there for some time now in chapter 137, and they are under Babylonian captivity. And you've got to understand this, that it took a mighty long time for them to get to where they're at in Psalm 137. And God had been mighty long-suffering with him for a mighty long time. And God had put down in the Bible, had recorded in his word, how that friend, that every 6 years, and that on the seventh year there should be a sabbatical year. In other words, the ground should not be cumbered. It doesn't matter. You say, preacher, why? At the end of the day, it doesn't make any difference why. And what matters is that's what God said to do. Amen. And for the last 490 years, they have ignored the Sabbath of God. And for the last 400, man, I got to thinking about that. I thought, man, I'm sure glad for the long-suffering hand of God. And now if it was me, I would not have waited that long. But boy, God let one generation come up, and he let the next generation come up, and God kept being long-suffering. But there came a time when the long-suffering of God ran out. I want to say this. I want everybody to hear me. And there is a generation that is going to reap what has been sown. Amen. And the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 7, he said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And the book of Hosea chapter 8 verse 7, and the Bible says they have sown to the wind, and now they've reaped the whirlwind. I want to remind you today, friend, and that there is a day coming, and that just exactly what you put in the ground is what's going to come up. And now I'm afraid in America, and we're very short-sighted, and we only care about ourselves, and maybe the next generation, and maybe at best three generations. But Brother Matt, God needs to help us to get our eyes set a little further down the road than just where we're at.
I thought there's a day of reaping, but there's also a day coming where we'll be rewarded for our labors. I want to say this, friend, and not everything that you've done's been right. Don't nobody get too hurt at me, and you hang tight, we'll get where we're going. But there's a day coming and that America's going to be rewarded for everything we've done. I want you to hear me standing right now, and there's the blood of 63 million aborted babies that cries from the ground, and there is a day coming and there is a generation and there is a group of people that will have to pay for that. And I want you to hear me, and the folks in captivity, Brother Joshua, by and large, they are not the people that had wronged God, but they are the people that it came down to it. And now all of a sudden, God has opened up the wrath and he's about to pour it down on these folks. But the decision of this wrath had been made generations ago. Let me say this to you, friend, and I hope that you'll hear me. I do not want my children nor your children to have to pay for the decisions that we have made in this generation. I don't want to have to be. I'm telling you, thank God I'm not going to be. Hey, some things I don't know if it's right or not, but I will not be the one that'll change from this book right here. I'll keep preaching the King James and the old 1611, and there'll not be nothing else in this church as long as I'm here. Amen. I'll say this, thank God I'll not be the pastor that goes contemporary in our song. And you say, preacher, it's not going to hurt us. I'm not worried about us. I'm trying to save it for generation that's coming after us. Amen. And there is a generation. And listen, I was talking with a fella. I was talking with a fella the other day. And he said, preacher, he said, I got some tapes from our services back in the 80s. He said, we was shouting around. He said, the preacher was on fire. He said, the church, he said, God is my witness. He said, the preacher was preaching and you couldn't hear him in the microphone for everybody shouting him down. And he said, I don't know what happened to our church. He said, but our church is no longer like that. I thought, I'll tell you what happened. Yes, there was a generation that stopped praying. There was a generation that stopped seeking. There's a generation stopped doing what's right. And now there's a generation that's having to pay for it. Oh, listen, this generation here. And now hang tight with me. We'll get there, all right. But let's all agree that there is a generation and they're going to reap. Hey, look here. We can't have a bunch of transgenders running around and it not affect somebody. And we can't, listen. I mean, that can't, you can't go and that not have no effect on the way things are going. I'm saying this, and they're in this place. And I got to thinking about it. God, help us. I want you to listen to me. And these folks right here, and they lost their homes, and they was taken outside of them, and they lost their heritage, and they didn't know who they was anymore. And they started bringing in folks. I know you stay tuned, it's going to hit just a little closer to home. But they started in bringing in the Sepharvaims and those from other nations. And before long, they lost their heritage. It was no longer what it was. And I'm going to say this, and I hope to God, I mean, I hope that this comes across just the way that I intend for it to. I'm for everybody from everywhere coming and being a part of this church. As long as you don't have the intentions of changing the church from what it is, amen. If that's your intent, we don't need fixing, amen. And we don't need fixing, thank God. I want to stay right where we're at. I've done what we've always done. I'm not trying to modernize nothing. Thank God, just keep on the way it is, amen. Oh, yes. It's done worked far too long for me to try to do something different now. And we don't need any help. Amen. If you want to get in and pull with us, then we want you to pull with us. Amen. And you say, preacher, why you say things like that? And because it's my responsibility to. Amen. Amen. Thank God. I'm saying this. They lost their home. And they lost their heritage. And when you turn to Psalm 137, they had lost their hope. But I want you to notice what the Bible said. They had no homes. They had no heritage. They had no hope. But God left. a harp. Amen. Oh, thank God. Have they left on my harp? And boy, I got this. I wish I could play a harp. I wish somebody could play a harp in here. I ain't got one of those, but we got guitars. We got banjos. We got basses. We got everything in the whole world. And God gave them a harp. And you say, preacher, why would God give them a harp? I'll tell you why. It's a helpful instrument, Brother Savage. I can prove it in the scripture. And Brother John, whenever old Saul was over there, hallelujah, amen. Old Saul was over there and he had an evil spirit on him. And thank God there's an old man named David. And he started picking on that harp. And when he started strumming on the harp, and that evil spirit went from it. And did they something about you do what you want to? Hey, something about somebody. And listen, there wasn't nobody having to sing the words. Unless they're just playing on that thing. And it's the helping me, amen. I mean, I would to God. I don't know what to tell you about it. But when they sit down and start playing them heavenly songs, it gets to doing something on the inside of my soul. And no performance. I don't have to have Michael Combs or any of the rest of them up there and perform. And there's a Holy Ghost that starts bearing witness on the inside of my soul. And listen, when God gets to showing up and singing Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound. And the Holy Ghost said, that's you, son. And that's you, amen. I get to lifting up holy hands and thinking about what God has done for my soul. It helps me, amen. It helps me, praise God. Oh, yes, it's a helpful, amen, it's a helpful instrument. I'll say this to you, it's a holy instrument. And the Bible teaches us, hey, God, ready to get there. I'm getting there. I'm getting there. Boy, I'm glad I feel my helper. Amen. And it's over there. He said, Brother Doug, when they set the Levites in the house of God, he said they gave them a harp. And the look here that's in the house. And there's a play in their harps. Hey, it's not just, I believe God was reminding his people, and listen, you're a holy people. It doesn't matter if you're in Babylon. It doesn't matter if you're in Jerusalem. And you're to be a holy people. I think, thank God, we ought to hear more of that in our day. It don't matter if you're in the church house or at the courthouse. And we ought to be a holy people, amen. If you name the name of Christ, and thank God you ought to be holy. Even as he's holy. And thank God, look here. And you're going to have to go a long ways and to convince me you're holy. And while sucking down the bottom, have a beer, amen. And you're going to have to go a long ways and to try to convince me that you're holy. And while running in and out of the dance hall, I'm trying to celebrate the worldly thing. I'm saying this, and we are to be holy, amen. It's a hopeful. But then I got thinking about this. You know what makes that instrument so special? It's a heavenly instrument. Now, I'm not talking about the images that you've seen. How about you can read in Revelation 4? Boy, I'm telling you, thank God. I don't know what it's like out there, but you, if it ain't good out there, come stand with me. It's pretty good back here. How about in Revelation chapter 14? And the Bible says, and the harpers were harping with their harps. Amen. That's a heavenly instrument. And boy, I got to thinking, ain't it just like God? And while they're down there in Babylonian captivity, he said, let me give you a heavenly instrument. I know it's rough right there. He said, but somebody needs to pick it up. And somebody needs to play it. But Brother Bill, this is what hurt me. And the Bible said, when they got by the rivers of Babylon, and said they took those old harps and they hung them up in a willow tree. Oh, listen, let me say this. I know that thing's not stable. But I want you to hear me, friend. They took those old harps, hung them down there in the willow tree. And they said right there is where it's at. But I got bad news. Listen, friend. Harps aren't intended to be in willow trees. They're intended to be in hands. Amen. Harps ain't intended to be silent. They're intended to be played. But somewhere along life, has something happened. And they start hanging them up. And boy, God been stirring in my heart. And I'm just preaching. And I want you to hear me, all right? I'm getting tired. I'm going weary in my spirit. I mean, it hurts my soul how to watch people after people, and person after person, and that used to have a song, and used to have a testimony, and used to have some joy, and just little by little, and one by one, hang their heart up in a willow tree. Amen. Oh, listen. You say, oh, preacher, I'm saying this, friend. These folks, that there was a time that they had that instrument in their hand. I mean, look here, and they was playing it. And when they played it, it brought joy. But now all of a sudden, they've taken that instrument and they've hung it up. I mean, it's no longer joy in their soul. Have they no longer used their voice for God? Have they no longer used their walk for the Lord? But this is not a message of negativity. If a God will help me today, that's all introduction for a real short message. And here's the message. Y'all ready for it? Here's the message. It's time to reach and get it. Amen. It's time to reach and get it. Thank God. Thank God, Miss Irene. I'm glad we come in the house of God. And every now and again, God will help us to go over there and get that old heart back down and be reminded one more time of what it was to play it and for the glory of God and get back to doing what God would have us to do. Oh, yes. You're going to have to reach and get it. I'm going to say this. How the harp ain't going to come out of the tree on its own. And thank God if you're going to wait and for the harp to come down to where you're at. That's never going to happen. And my friend, you put it up there. It's time for you to get it back down. Amen. I thought about three things. And I'm going to be done if you're going to get it up there. Here's what the Bible said. It said, and we hang their harps there. And we have sat down. And we have wept and we remembered. You know what happened? I'm going to say this. I hope y'all stay with me. I hope that you will, but if you don't, I'm preaching anyhow. I'll tell you what happened. And one by one, they started putting them up. And Brother Joshua, one by one. And before very long, the fellow said, well, if Joshua's going to put his up, I'll tell you what, I believe I'll just put mine up too. And they just went over there and said, well, if he ain't going to play no more, I believe I'm not going to play no more either. And just took the same thing and just one by one and they all start hanging it up. And you say, preacher and Brother Bill, thank God. Hey, listen, if everybody quit shouting, I'm going to shout and whether it's right or not. And just because I want to make sure and that there's a generation comes up and they know shouting is still right. Amen. We've been so lukewarm for so long, sitting around other lukewarm people, sitting around other cold people, and we've forgotten, thank God, it's time to stop being like that. Amen. I've watched folks be in the house of God and they used to shout it out and to listen, and even sometimes, Brother Nathaniel, even sometimes I've seen you stand and you say, well, I know some of them don't like it. I don't care. Amen. Thank God. I look here, friend, not my responsibility to make worship the way you like it, and my responsibility is to play my harp and for the glory of God. Amen. 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 Praise God. Not my responsibility. But I'm going to say this. You're going to have to reach and get it. First thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to reach past that crowd that's overcome you. Amen. I mean, if you're going to get it. Hey, listen, everybody's laid theirs down. They've all hung them up. But somebody has to be the first one. And Brother Delmer, somebody has to get tired of sitting where they've sat and doing what they've done. And somebody's got to get to where and they miss the sound of the harp. And somebody's got to get to the place where they say, you know what would help us? I know we're all sad, we're all weeping, and we're all remembering. And say, man, I'd love to hear somebody and just play that harp and one more time. And somebody has to have enough about them and to reach past everybody else. And so I can't help it if you've settled down. I can't help it that you've quietened down. I'm not giving up. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm saying this. Aren't you tired? I mean, you remember when you hung it up? I mean, let's just be honest. Remember when you hung it up? And then now you're sitting down, and the joy you had's gone, and the peace you had's gone. You know where you can trace it back to? When you hung up your harp in that willow tree, and you're going to have to reach past everybody else. I mean, it's time, thank God. How old is it? It's time to reach and get it, John. I can't help it what everybody else said. I mean, listen, I've heard more folks, and listen, it got to where I'm talking about, listen, I'm gonna, this is testimony. This is time out. And I'm going to get right back to preaching right here, Brother Chase. Just in the last few weeks, I can't tell you how many folks I've heard that they've said, Brother Kevin, they said, it's the way you preach. If you just settle down a little bit and not be the way hardly you are. Said, folks don't like that screaming no more. They said, you're too loud. And nobody understands what you're saying. And Brother Savage, and I got down there and I got to thinking, oh Lord, I want to be effective. I don't want to be married to the way I preach. Oh God, I want to be effective and for the glory of God. And boy, the Lord God reminded me how you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Amen. I'm going to say this, thank God. I'm not against anybody who stands in one place and they share the unction and the word of God in power. Thank God, God honors them. But I'm telling you, thank God, God made me the way he made me, and I'm going to be what God made me to be. Some point in time, you're going to have to reach past that crowd. Hey, it's that crowd that's overtaking you. I got to think, listen, praise God. You're going to have to look, reach past that crowd that's got something on you. Do you know why some folks, why they're not interested in reaching that down? Because in order to get that, they're going to have to get up in front of everybody. And Brother Tanner, they can't get over. Boy, the devil, he's got letters on them. Just like old Joab on David. And he holds them letters over top of their head. But look here, friend. Now here's the, I'm just telling you. Praise God. That's about more than I can handle right now, honestly. I'm being honest with you. But I'll tell you what happened. Yeah. At some point in time, there's going to be a judgment seat of Christ. And it's all going to come out on all of us. Amen. Yeah. It's all coming out on all of us. And where we've been right, where we've been wrong. I'll tell you what it'd do you good to do. It's just to say, I can't help what I've done. I've repented of it. I put it behind me. And now, by the good grace of God, I don't care who's got what on me, I'm putting that behind me and I'm going to reach and get it for the glory of God. Amen. As that crowd, they're going to hold something over you. Look here, Fred, you're in the wrong church house if you're going to try to hold something over somebody's life all the rest of their days. You're in the wrong place, neighbor, if you're going to come in here. And every time somebody stands up to do something for the glory of God, all you can remember is what they've done 40 years ago. You don't reckon I've repented. You don't reckon somebody else has too. I mean, praise God, friend. Let's give a little grace for what somebody's done. Amen. You're going to have to reach and get it. You're going to have to quit worrying about everybody around you. Just reach and get it. Has that crowd that's got something over you? Has that crowd that's against you? Sometimes, look here, friend. I mean, listen, praise God. I mean, what about old John Mark? He had to get over even the great apostle Paul being against him. He said, man, Paul's against me. Oh, but thank God, God was still on his side. And at some point in time, even John Mark said, I believe I'll just reach and get it. I believe I'll just go on. And at some point in time, oh, John Mark grabs that harp. He starts playing it. And when he starts playing it, and Paul said, man alive, look at how God is honoring him. He said, he sure does sound profitable now. Amen. You're going to have to reach and get it. Praise the Lord. Past the crowd that's overcome you. You're going to have to reach and get it past the captives that's overtaking you. Some folks, they've been chained down, burdened down so long that they about lost their song. Y'all listen to me? I'll tell you what, praise the Lord. Golly bum, it hurts my heart. I'm as sure that I'm preaching what needs to be preached this morning as I ever have been probably in my life. I'm sure of it, Brother Bill. But I'll tell you what happens. Boy, what happens to them hands, Brother Josh? You play that old guitar down, you've heard of many of them. They'll get ready to pick it up, and they'll say, well, they'll say, my fingers, they just don't bend like they used to. And before very long, they say, man, there was a time I could play it. And boy, I can't play it no more. And I thought, God in heaven, I don't want to ever have to look back and say, man, listen, I know these folks here that you've went through so much life. And if you're not careful, it'll rob you of your harp and your song. Amen. Yeah. They were captives. They were chained up. They were bound down. And if you watch them, Brother Jones, all they could do is look back. They say, we remembered. Here they are. They're just sitting. And they can talk about what it was. But they don't know nothing about what it is. They can remember, Brother Matt. Listen, Brother Matt, I thank God. Thank God for that Tuesday night.
Oh yeah.
But I don't want to live in the light of that Tuesday night for the next 40 years.
Right.
I don't want to stand up in this church and say, how many of y'all was with us that Tuesday night? 12 got saved. We ain't seen 12 saved in the last 20 years. And we all just rejoicing in what God done 20 years ago. He's not the God of way back then. He's the God of right now. Amen. It's time to reach and get it. You say, Brother Kevin, I've talked to folks who say, I don't know if God will even help me. There's one sure-fired way to find out. Y'all listen to me? I've heard folks say, they say, I don't believe God will help me no more. I'll tell you what, look, everybody look at me. You didn't get that out of the Bible. You didn't get that out of the Bible. He that hath begun a good work in you, what's it say? He'll stop it about halfway. Hey, listen, if you do wrong, he'll cut you off. That's not what that book says. Said he'll perform it unto the day of Christ, amen. And the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. Say, preacher, you think God will help me again? Let me ask you this. Did God help Samson or not? Did he, Scotty? I mean, look here, did he help him? Did he help David or not? Did he help Peter or not? I'm just saying this, at some point in time, boy, stop. Just say, man, I've hugged my harp up in that willow tree for so long. I believe I'll just reach and get it. I believe I'll just reach past the captives, all the enemies. It's not just the crowd, Eli. Don't start sitting with people who ain't shouting her out. It's not just the crowd. But when they went up there to get that harp out of the tree, the enemy mocked them, no doubt, the whole way. Say, what are you doing? What are you doing? They said, go sing one of them old dumb songs again. Go sing one of them old lame songs again. I don't know what they sang, but boy, I'll tell you what. I wish that they had strummed that thing, Brother Delmer. Started singing, the Lord is my shepherd, amen. You can just see the joy starting to flow all over the congregation. I'm saying this, it's time to reach and get it. I'm done preaching. I want you to watch this. You're going to have to reach past the crowd that's overcome you. You're going to have to reach past the captives that's overtaken you. But you're going to have to reach past the circumstances that's overwhelmed you. Watch what the Bible says. They said, they wasted us. They wasted us. They said, man, we can't sing. We can't sing. Said, the enemy came in and they wasted us. And the devil wanted them to be so focused on what was behind them that they didn't realize what was ahead of them. Could I tell you this? Do you know God told them before they ever set one foot in Babylon, he told them exactly how long they would be there. Don't die on me right now. We ain't to the good parts yet. Don't die on me right here. You know, before they ever set foot, Jeremiah said 70 years. He said, but oh, he said, there's a day God's going to let you go back home. Yeah, man. I'm going to say this. Some folks spend so much time looking at what the devil's taken from them that they've forgotten what God still has for them.
Say, preacher, I'll tell you when you'll reach and get it. When you realize there's still more ahead of you than there is behind you. The devil stole your victory, stole your vision, stole your voice, sat in the house of God, hung up your harp a long time ago. I'm going to read you one more scripture. Y'all pray. My eyes are real blurry. I want to read this if God will help me. Y'all listen to me. Where are they at? Everybody stay with me right here. I'm done. 3 minutes. Where are they at in Psalms 137? They're in Babylon. And they ain't got no song. And Babylon seems to have won. And the people of God have hung up their harps. They've lost their song. They've lost their joy. And Brother Creston, I don't know why in the world. I don't know how this has evaded me all of these years. But this week, the Holy Ghost got to just driving this in my heart. Revelation chapter 14. Turn there with me. Revelation 14, still dealing with the nation of Israel, still dealing with the Jews, going right back to them. But I want you to watch what it says. Watch what it says. Revelation 14, verse number 2. Said, I heard. Now let's read verse 1. I don't want to skip the lamb. Said in verse 1, and I looked, and lo, a lamb stood on the Mount Zion, with him 144,000. Having their father's name written in their forehead. I heard a voice from heaven, as the voice of many waters, as the voice of a great thunder. I heard the voice of harpers harping with their harp. And they sung, as it were, a new song before the throne. Right there ought to have been a praise break. Amen. And the Bible said, and before the four beasts and the elders, no man could learn that song. But the 144,000 that were redeemed from the earth. Notice with me, if you will, in verse number 7, saying with a loud voice, fear God, give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment's come. Worship him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, and Babylon is fallen. He has fallen, amen. I'll tell you how this thing shakes out. Hey, thank God they're not making fun of us no more. And the harps have fired back up. And Babylon is defeated, and the people of God are reigning victorious through the Lamb. Yeah. Just look a little ahead. There's a many that's hung them up today, but there's a day coming. Be a new song. I've cleared my heart. Stand your feet. I've said what needs to be said.